This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. And we're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that.
Today is April the 18th, which means that our Date the Word is coming to you today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
That's right. And it's such an important reminder for us that faith is really the core aspect of our faith, of Christianity. Yeah. You know, our faith, our trust in God, even when we can't see him. I think Jesus even said that. He said, you believe because you've seen all these things, but how much more blessed are those who are coming after us who have believed in all these things and have not seen? You know, I didn't see Jesus I didn't see Jesus walk on water. I didn't see him raise that little girl up from the dead. I never saw any of that thing. I have to trust that it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that trust sets you free. You know, it brings you to a place where you know that God is all powerful without him having to write a big message in the sky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cliche is true. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That's right.
And that is infinitely more true when you pray and ask God to give you the eyes of faith to see how God is working. I mean, you can look at your life and just see a random set of circumstances. You can see coincidence, or you can choose to see how God is working things together for your good and for his glory. And the more you lean into that, the more you read his word, the more you grow in spiritual maturity, you're going to see God at work in your life without fail.
That's right. And if you want these verses, these daily Date the Words coming to you, you can download the Date the Word app. In fact, this episode is partially sponsored by the Date the Word app. You can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word. And the hope is that it will make it more memorable for you. You know, it's Thursday, and that means it's time for some biblical unsolicited advice.
Not biblical.
This is nice, good Christian advice.
This is coming to you from the book of Second Opinions.
Every single Thursday, we give you some nice, good, strong Christian advice to build your life upon. I got to say, this has really helped my faith. You got to eat hot fries on your tacos. When you make homemade tacos, you got to take some Chester's hot fries and just you can either crunch them up or you can just lay them down Lincoln Log style. So what I do is we call these white people tacos, right?
White people taco night.
Getting Ortega sauce from the grocery store. So you take a good, nice flour tortilla.
Sure.
If you eat it on a corn tortilla, hop off my show.
Wow.
Hop off my podcast. Immediately. Hop off my radio show. You got to take a flour tortilla.
Immediately to a fight.
They're not authentic, right? real Hispanic people will tell you that nothing about what I'm about to tell you is authentic, but it sure am sweet tasting. You take a good flour tortilla, drizzle some ground beef on there, get some shredded cheese from the grocery store.
Sure.
Pre-shredded. Just sprinkle it on there.
Already not authentic.
Take you a dollop of sour cream, plop it right on there. As they say, do a dollop of Daisy.
A dollop of Daisy.
Okay, here's where the advice comes in. That's okay. Where most people would just fold it up and start eating it. Take some good...
Arguably disagree, but go ahead.
Take some good crisp Chester's hot fries, stack them on there, just mash them down.
I can get behind that. I like the crunch with the taco.
That's what you go for, man.
I can get behind that.
That's what you go for. David, do you have any thoughts on that?
So the crunch can come from a variety of things. Like I like lettuce on my tacos.
Ew.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's
crunchy water.
That's going to give you the crunch, or jalapenos.
Yeah.
Those will crunch. I would say, would you do Takis instead of hot fries?
No. Nicholas asked me that. Nicholas asked me that when I was
like
telling him about it the other day.
Takis would make more sense with the flavor profile.
Too crunchy. Takis will
all right,
shred
those are
your
crunchy.
Gums
okay.
to ribbons.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Those are pretty crunchy.
Yeah. They're actually, David's holding up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can actually.
Move it this way. You got to move it this way. You're not on frame. The opposite way. Or just move the camera. That's fine.
Is
yeah.
That better?
Fuego taco. Fuego Takis.
Also,
it's hard to say.
My opinion about Chester's hot fries on a burrito.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Bad idea.
Why?
Do Doritos.
No, I have done Doritos. In fact, I would say when they had, they used to sell Doritos at Taco Bell, and I would get the 5-layer burrito and I would crumble up a bunch of Doritos, and I invented the Dorito burrito. I invented that. But I know there's a lot of people who would say they invented it, but that's my IP.
I'm pressing X.
To doubt. I'm saying, and it's not just hot fries on tacos. I think any sandwich needs some crunch.
I agree with you.
So I would take, I honestly would take like a nice bologna sandwich, get you some Doritos or some chips and just.
That is never better than after you've been at the beach or the pool.
Yeah.
Outside in the heat, swimming, you come inside, you get that white bread.
That's a pool day meal.
Bologna, American cheese.
Yeah.
Slather with some mustard spicy if
yeah.
you got it.
Yeah.
Pickles, Doritos. Crunch.
That my man is
that's
on
it.
My side. That's our advice.
It.
In fact, I'm gonna broaden my advice. Yeah. I do want you to eat hot fries on your tacos, but I would say make sure every single sandwich you ever eat has some crunch to it. Lettuce. Don't put that on. That's crunchy water.
You can put the lettuce on your
sandwich. Don't do that.
It elevates the sandwich.
No.
It's just no, I'm just talking about crunch on the sandwich. Crunch on the sandwich that elevates the the flavor profile.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of upset on advice no one needed day.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just don't want crunchy water. That's
you
all.
Don't have to have it. I'll eat the lettuce.
I'll eat the hot fries.
You eat the hot fries.
There we
That's
go.
Fine.
There we go. My stomach is starting to hurt.
Yeah.
By the way.
Write in and let us know your sandwich hack. I feel like we've broadened our horizon from tacos to just sandwiches in general.
Yeah, true.
Which begs the question: is a taco a sandwich? That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, we'll do that another day.
But write in and let us know how you elevate your sandwich. What's your hack? 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Elizabeth, my darling bride, what would you say is the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself in the morning?
Probably drink an entire pot of coffee when sitting.
I'd say that's a close second. No, the best thing you can do for yourself is to start every morning with a daily devotional.
If only we had one to talk about.
Well, as it turns out, we have two.
Right now, you can unlock the power of daily inspiration, wisdom, and spiritual growth in our devotional series, 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning. Written by our pastor, Dr. Abhinand Shah, and his wife, Nicole, the 30 Days devotional series is designed to reveal new biblical truths every single day.
That's right, and every day is a new revelation to guide you on your Christian journey toward a more meaningful and purposeful life. You can pick up your copy today from our website, that's clearviewbc.org, or you can grab both books on Amazon, Apple Books, and Audible.
That's 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning by Abhinand and Nicole Shah. And don't forget, these are only the first two in an expanding devotional series. So keep your eyes peeled for future installments.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinand Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I know in this way you are a man after my own heart.
Okay.
Chester's Hot Fries. Now, I know for a fact you're a man after my own heart, because I've seen you eat, not lately, But I remember once we went to the beach.
Yes.
And you had some of the Chesters. And I was like, hey, man, let me just get one or two of them Chesters. And I know we ate so many hot fries.
I still like them. I can still eat them. But to keep my A1C down, I have to be careful.
So here's what I'll say. And I respect that. And I don't want to lead you asunder. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever, I know you're also a fan of Mexican food, right?
Yes.
Tacos. If you make homemade tacos, you got to take some of those hot fries and just put them right in the middle. Here's the thing. Every sandwich needs some crunch. Are you like a chips on the sandwich type of guy, or are you sandwich and chips on the side?
Chips on the side.
Really? Come on,
dude. But okay, so let me ask you this though. Sandwich with maybe some lettuce or some pickles, something like that on the sandwich? No?
Just no, I have reasons for that.
Have you ever?
I mean, you know the reasons. For one, growing up, we had that special tooth powder.
Oh, true. You get that. I forgot about the sensitive teeth.
Yeah. Well, not sensitive teeth. But I mean, they filed the enamel. Yeah. And then I used to chew a lot of sunflower seeds, right? Mm-hmm. So I would do it from the front, and that messed up my teeth in the front. So I mean, I have fillings.
Right.
So if I eat something
really crunchy,
then.
So soft sandwiches.
Yes.
Yeah. Soft sandwiches.
Sometimes I've even chewed into like a hamburger with this lettuce that, you know, like that middle stem of the lettuce is on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gross. That like white part?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which should not be kept there. And I'm like, oh.
Now you got to pull it out.
I checked to make, oh, yep, still there.
Yeah. Just checking. Quick inventory.
Yeah.
Got you. So no. So sandwich, chips on the side if we eat the chips at all.
Yeah.
I got you.
See, I can have chips. I mean, the thing is, for those of you who are watching or listening, you know, we're talking about health.
Right.
Carbs are not the best for you. So it's not like no carbs, but it should be low carbs.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm working on low carbs. And I don't think we talked about my health lately, have we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I'm done great.
Nice.
Lost a good bit of weight. I work out every day like I used to back in college. Mm-hmm. And I do cardio 2 days a week. Went for my checkup. My A1C down to 6.4.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Very
nice.
That's good. That was good.
And even the doctor was like, well, I get to change your status over here.
There you go.
So, you are looking good. And she was just typing away.
She's talking. You're like, that's exactly right. I know exactly how many salads I've eaten to get to this point, how much I've worked out, how hard I've worked. You change that status.
Salads, you better daggone change it.
Yeah. So anyways, that's the reason why I don't indulge. But yes, I love hot fries.
Very nice. Very nice. I tell you what, we're going to be doing a big celebratory dinner that we're going to talk about on the show here soon. Maybe we'll get some hot fries for that.
I'm down.
But we did have a couple of people. I mentioned this yesterday in our closing. We had actually a great number of people write into us on a very specific topic. And I just picked one. This is Morgan from this is Morgan from South Carolina. Hey guys, love the show. It's a great listen on my morning commute. I especially love Dr. Questions and had a personal question for the doctor himself. When I was younger, I used to go through periods of doubt. And while I know God has forgiven me for doubting, I sometimes wonder if it was ever wrong to doubt in the first place. Does the Bible condemn Christians who doubt? And if so, how can we prevent doubting God?
No, the Bible doesn't condemn doubts. Staying there can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Let me just share with you from my angle, from my personal life. This is after I came here as a pastor. And I had been pastoring here. You know, I went through back surgery and all that. Had a tumor in my back, everything. Just thank God everything went well. But then there was a period of about good couple of years that I went through doubts. I would still get up and preach. I would still get up and do what needed to be done. But deep within, there was this question. Are we really sure all this is true? Are we really, how sure are we about anything in life?
Yeah.
And I don't know what caused that. Maybe it was my age. Maybe it was my station in life. Maybe it was the stresses that I was going through or had been through with back surgery and struggles and financial struggles and all these things. I don't know what caused that, but those questions would pop in my head. So I went through a period of doubt for about a good couple of years. And every Sunday I would get up and preach. Not that I was like a fake or a hypocrite. No, I would still get to the right place in my mind and my heart and preach with the right convictions and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and lives were changed. But in that process, God was also helping solidify my convictions.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so helpful for people to hear, because a lot of times people, I mean, I've struggled with this in the past, people will doubt in silence because they feel guilty about even saying that out loud.
Or ashamed.
Like it makes me a bad Christian to even voice having doubts or struggling to believe whether or not this is all real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What helped me was, among many other things, was an example from Billy Graham. Mm. You know, when Billy Graham was about to launch out in his ministry, prior to that, there was another young man by the name of Charles Templeton. And Charles Templeton was a remarkable guy. He was brilliant. He was very charismatic in his, not theology, but in his persona, in his personality, very winsome. He was the next best thing that happens to Christendom. Mm. And next thing you know, he goes off the deep end. He gets into liberal theology. He loses his faith. He is off the rails.
Wow.
And people are shocked. They're like, Charles Templeton? Charles Templeton is the reason I got saved. Charles Templeton is the apologist extraordinaire. Mm. How can you tell me that if he loses his faith,
what hope do we have?
What hope do we have?
Yeah.
And Billy Graham was also deeply impacted by this incident of Charles Templeton walking away from his faith. Wow. And so he went away. He walked into the woods by himself and laid his Bible. And I'm kind of paraphrasing the story. He laid his Bible down on a tree trunk. And he said, God, I don't know what to believe. I don't know where I should land. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm paraphrasing this. Whether Charles is right and I'm wrong, I don't know. But I'm willing to step out in faith and believe what that book says, that it is the word of God. Mm. And from this day on, I'm not going to live in doubts. I have made my decision that that is the book that I will stand on.
Amen. Amen.
And die on.
I love that the way he said that too, that I'm not going to live in doubt. Because I think what I see a lot of times, people believe that when you have faith, that's the complete absence of all doubt. But he said, I'm not going to live in it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay in it.
And he says that he went into the woods a doubter, but he came out a believer.
Amen.
Now, he was already saved years ago. But at that moment, he had made up his mind. This is where he stands. And so also for me, in those 2 years or so of searching, and this is the whole time I'm taking PhD seminars.
Yeah.
This is the time I'm presenting papers on Islam and Christianity and fine-tuning my dissertation on textual criticism.
Yeah, this is not a newborn Christian.
No, I'm not a new. Yeah, I'm not like searching for Christ out there somewhere in the lost world. No, I am pastoring. Mm-hmm. I am walking with God. I'm preaching sermons every week. People are getting saved. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm struggling to figure out, is this all this is real? Or is it just because how I was raised? Mm-hmm. Or is it because people are just trying to believe just so they can have something to hang on to in life?
Yeah.
And all the things that I talk about today, you know, how do you know people in some lost, forgotten island in the Pacific living in the 900 AD, what about them? Yeah. Are they going to be in heaven? Will God? All these were the questions swirling in my head.
One thing I've grown to respect about you over the 10 years of working here at Clearview is that I've seen that you, along with other scholars, they have a genuine, most scholars I'll say, is that they have a genuine love for the truth. And they search for truth, even if what they're going to find is not pleasant. Mm-hmm. The goal for ultimate truth, that's the end goal. Whereas I feel like a lot of Christians, myself, maybe not now, but before, I want to avoid an unpleasant truth. So I'm not going to dig too deep into the Bible or to resources.
Actually comes from being a scholar. Mm. Now, I'm not trying to be proud and arrogant when I say that, okay? But that's part of what you have to learn to do as a scholar. Mm-hmm. In our PhD program, we had to read so many books on research and all of that. We were told, you follow that truth. You dig after the facts, mm-hmm, until you find the facts and let the truth fall where it may. Mm-hmm. And if it falls on the wrong side, or it's on a side that you were not used to, or it's not comfortable, you let it go and let it fall, and then you can decide what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so that digging after the truth and just almost having a bulldog grip on that fact and staying on it is something that we are taught to do. Because mm-hmm. if we can't do that, if I just get up and simply repeat what I've already believed.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do that. Even in the PhD program, you can see that in the papers. It's like, well, he really didn't do any research. He simply is already knows what he wants to say, and he just used all these things to support his point.
Yeah. Well, I think because you have that mind of a scholar, because you bring that in your messages, it has also given us, as people who sit under your preaching, the confidence to know that you can have those doubts and you can still dig in and explore the Bible, because what you find is going to solve your doubts, not make them worse.
There was a quote that I really wish it was in a novel. It was in a fiction novel, but what you said made me think of it, and I want to try to find it so I can actually give credit to the actual quote. But it was something about, I'm never going to stop digging. I'm going to find the truth, because mm-hmm. no matter how ugly it is, I also know there's nothing more beautiful.
Yeah.
And I want to find, wow. It was like, it may be unpleasant, it may be ugly and bloody and harrowing, but once I find the truth, it's the most beautiful thing you can have.
Yes.
And I think I've grown to really respect scholars in the field, because, like I said, I feel like a lot of Christians, when you start to dig deep into like the stuff that you look at, it's like, oh, but.
Okay, it gets so uncomfortable.
Because there's legitimate problems here with these manuscripts or with these variants, and we have to address those problems. Like, I would rather pretend those problems aren't there.
Right.
Yeah. Or people even get to the point like, it's like, hey, there's a tension there. I'm just going to have to leave that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm going to wrestle with that until I find some sense out of that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I will stay up all night, Sunday night if I have to, mm-hmm. until I get to a point where, yes, there is a big struggle on this passage, this theological point, but I see the light,
mm-hmm.
and I see where it's going. And thank God, thank the Holy Spirit that He helps me. Before I get up to preach, I have a resolution.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Now, sometimes what people will do is, in cases of doubt, they'll just punt to the Holy Spirit and say, it's like, well, the Holy Spirit taught me that.
Yeah.
How can I argue with it? Yeah. One time I was teaching on how to study the Bible. And one thing I said in one of the lessons is the Holy Spirit does not solve hermeneutical problems.
Mm.
And I had a lady come to me, is like, oh, what do you mean? That's why He's there. I said, let me ask you this. And I gave her several examples of theological controversies, mm-hmm. or issues where people disagree. I said, now which side do you think does not have the Holy Spirit?
Hmm.
And I know that sounds very foreign to people,
mm-hmm.
especially if you come from a Pentecostal charismatic background. That's very quickly what they say is like, well, the Holy Spirit teaches me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you that. I don't need to go to no seminary in college. The Holy Spirit teaches me.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go,
he doesn't.
No. And again, I'm not liberal. I'm not like one of those people on the other end of the spectrum who are like, there is no Holy Spirit. I don't even believe in God. There are pastors who are preaching right now who don't even believe in the resurrection.
That's true.
They don't mind-boggling
believe in miracles.
You know, if it maybe even a year or so ago, I might not have believed that. But
They're not very far from here.
You're right.
But what I'm saying is, so I would definitely say, no, that's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is it the way to go that the Holy Spirit just clarifies everything to me and I'm good.
Right. So to claim that the Holy Spirit taught it to them, it's very problematic.
Because the
Holy Spirit is not going to teach you problematic doctrines that compromise, you know, the deity of Christ and all that other stuff.
He will warm your soul. He will convict you of sin. He will encourage you when you need it. He's the other comforter.
Mm-hmm.
He will guide you into all truth, but don't think that truth is hermeneutical problems. The truth is the person of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The Holy Spirit will do that. His job is to point to Christ.
Yeah.
But if you say, the Holy Spirit helped me figure out this little problem in the passage, and your interpretation is actually wrong,
mm-hmm.
then what? the Holy Spirit is wrong?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Is that a road you want to go down?
Or I must have misinterpreted the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit won't let you. He clarifies everything.
Right.
So it is true. And I haven't thought of it before we talked about this. Before this episode, I would have probably said, yeah, the Holy Spirit helps you understand.
Yeah. That's when I tell people, said, leave the Holy Spirit alone.
Yeah.
He is with you. He is the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. He is the life of God in you. He's making you more and more like Christ. He will convict you of sin. He will draw you to truth, which is Jesus Christ. But when it comes to hermeneutics, you have to do your work.
Right.
True.
You have to figure out the historical context, the grammatical context, the linguistic context, the cultural, sociological context. You have to study theology, biblical theology, systematic theology, historical theology.
Bro, I ain't got time for all that.
Well, I just got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. My question is, if it were a business deal or if it's something, you know, like major merger for your company or something, you would do the research. You would put in the work. You would put in
the
hours.
That's a great analogy.
This is lined in and you understand all the facets of it.
Why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to show you and then spend you $1 million on it?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. if it's something as important as the Bible, as important as your eternity and theology— Why are you not willing to put in the work?
That's a great illustration.
It is. And I mean, that's the truth. It's not important to people.
Yeah.
To a lot of people, it's not important.
I just want to sound hyper-spiritual and mystical.
But when it comes to the money, it's important.
Oh, that's
important. They don't trust the Holy Spirit there, do they?
Right. Don't play around with that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit ain't going
to... Just for that major legal case you have coming up, just trust the Holy Spirit to drop those preparation in your mind.
Don't go to the library. Yeah. Don't spend hours looking over...
Don't review past cases, nothing.
Past cases, you know...
Yep.
Precedents.
Yeah, no, don't understand the law. Man, you could have saved a bunch of money sending your daughter to law school, man. You should have just sent her off with the Holy Spirit.
That's
just
it.
That's what you should have did, man.
Yeah. In the Bible, you see someone like Thomas who struggled. And God didn't abandon him. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ actually came to him, and that shows the mercy of God, just the way God came to me. The way he came to me was through resources, through circumstances, and through people.
Mm-hmm.
Resources. I was able to find solid scholarly resources that clarified my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances, how the church was growing, how I was growing, how God was working all things together for good. People, God brought people into my life, just like my mentor professor, Dr. Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much from him. God brought people like him into my life, leaders. Business leaders into my life, and I learned from them. So these are the ways that God clarified that I was on the right track,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit was guiding me.
That's right.
That's right.
And I love how you bring up the mercy of Christ, because I think of like a little kid who's like running away from their mom, and they're like, no, but then they fall and hurt themselves. You know, the mom is not going to just be like, well, you doubted me, you know, you got what you deserve.
Yeah.
They're going to go pick him up and they're going to comfort him. And I think about Thomas a lot of times. I think we demonize him because he struggled with doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we kind of make him into the villain of that story. And it's only because Jesus came and put him in his place and admonished him. But man, Jesus came and comforted Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He brought him back and he reminded them of their friendship.
Is Thomas ever denounced in the Bible for his doubts?
Oh, a little bit.
Okay.
When Jesus finally talks to him, he says something to the effect, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Mm.
So there is a sense of, okay, Thomas. But keep in mind, this was not just that Thomas just walked in on the story of Jesus.
Mm.
Thomas walked with Jesus.
Right.
Right? He saw the miracles.
Yeah.
He saw Jesus walking on the waves and doing all that he did. He saw all those things, and he even heard, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that? That was the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he heard Jesus tell him, and the disciples, of course, that I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. He heard that he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, after the crucifixion and the burial, he was like, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Unless I touch him, unless I feel his side, I am not going to believe. So it's not like he just walked in on the scene and it was like, tell me about this Jesus guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is God's son who came down, lived a perfect holy life, fulfilled the prophecies, the promises, and then he was crucified for the sins of the people, buried, and now he's risen again. Oh, now I have to touch him and feel his side. No, he was there.
That's right.
So there was a whole different level of doubt.
Hopefully today was helpful for you guys. I know it was helpful for me talking about doubt and how, you know, it doesn't make you not a Christian or make you less of a Christian, but it's a natural process of kind of working out your faith and growing closer to God.
That's exactly right.
If you're struggling with doubt, we'd love to help you, point you in the right direction of resources and let you know that you're not alone. Write in and let us know what you're dealing with and how we can pray for you. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show.
Before we close the show, I do want to say David pulled his detective work once again and found, pun intended, by the way, with this. He found that quote. It was, the truth, however ugly in itself, is always curious and beautiful to seekers after it. Guess who said it? It's my personal hero. Dr. Shaw knows her. She's British. Writes detective fiction.
Was it Agatha Christie?
It was Agatha Christie. Oh. I was like, I knew it from somewhere. It's from The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, which I just read last year.
I was like,
I know that quote is from somewhere. Then when he texted it to me, it was Agatha Christie. I was like, of course it is.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. Hilarious.
Who was connected to scholars dug in Iraq.
That's right. That's exactly right.
There you go. Love it. What's coming up tomorrow, John?
Tomorrow we are talking about that old enemy, failure. So afraid of failing that a lot of us never even venture out at all. We don't do anything. We just sit on our blessed assurance and we just hope that the Holy Spirit's going to take us through life.
We are the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay home and lie around.
We're scared to fail, but tomorrow we're going to talk about how to fail the right way. How to fail biblically.
Mm.
Didn't that sound funny?
Yeah.
How to fail biblically. That's what we're going to talk about.
Love it. Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.
What's going on, Clearview Today family? John here, and I want to let you know about a movie being produced right here in North Carolina called Resurrecting Eden. This is a love story. It's a period piece set in the southern United States between two slaves who find themselves on opposite ends of slave society. There's an executive team who's putting this movie together, and they're calling for actors and sponsors right here in North Carolina, Triangle area, and beyond. There's two very important meetings happening on Saturday, April the 20th. There's a sponsorship breakfast happening at 9:30 a.m. and then the casting call for the movie is happening later that same day from 2 to 4 p.m. And both those meetings are being held at Clearview Church in Henderson, but it is happening very soon. So if you're an actor or a potential sponsor in the North Carolina area, you can reach out to 252-572-2358 to register. Again, that number is 252-572-2358, and we're going to leave all the relevant information in the description below.